broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Ugh, that's a tongue twister. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, James?
Yes.
Is it working, Daryl?
Yeah, it's working over here.
Can you feel it?
I can feel that.
Feeling it.
Yeah. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So.
Oh, yeah. Freedom Fiends.
So what's up, you guys?
Well, remembering. Always remembering.
Oh, yeah. Oh no.
I'm supposed to say, remember 9/11. I was instructed not to say, happy 9/11, guys. But I was not supposed to say that. You know? It's good to be with my fellow fiends on the Freedom Fiends on 9/11. Yay! You know?
Yay, but for me, it's actually 9/12 now, because I'm in Eastern time zone.
Oh, yeah, you guys, you're in 9/12.
It's past.
So
that's
I'm
like the Glenn Beck Remembering Day, right?
So that's why we're remembering now. Remembering.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That works. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I think for most of our listeners, it's probably still 9/11.
Oh, you don't think we have many listeners on the East Coast?
Well, I think most of our radio stations, anyway, are on the West Coast. So
that's
still,
true.
Okay.
Still 9/11. Where most of our radio stations are anyway. So we can remember 9/11 together. Well, it's still 9/11 for some and not 9/11 for others.
Fair enough.
Let's help them remember. I don't
we're
remember
in that,
what happened.
We're in that gray zone where it may or may not still be 9/11.
Yeah. It's like Schrodinger's 9/11.
What exactly happened in 2001 on this day? I don't really remember. I wasn't there. I was in Vermont.
I was
trying to write a paper.
I was in a little breakfast place. I think I was eating pancakes or something. I don't know. The waitress came over and started talking about buildings blowing up. And I remember thinking, oh, it must be that Bin Laden guy. Because, you know, I was indoctrinated back then. And
I think I really need that pocket alibi now. I think it might be already too late, James. What do you think?
I know. I'm thinking I should stop now.
Stop.
Okay, in case the listeners out there don't know, we were all concerned.
This is only.
Yeah, are we going to lose radio stations just because we said a few things already and in like the first couple minutes of the show?
This is just a joke. So it may cause triggering.
I think I've sufficiently backlogged this up. There, we got plenty of pocket alibi there for a little while anyway.
That's perfect.
I forgot about that. It's such a great thing.
Yeah. So now I feel okay, and I won't mention any weird anomalies associated with that whole event. I'll move on to more contemporary topics. Yeah.
Not, I guarantee.
Yeah. Except for those jumpers, though. That was weird. But no, I'll move on.
But we do have a couple of funny articles here from The Onion. I don't know if you want to talk about those.
Yeah, which one?
Cool. Yeah, I do. I want to talk about this. I want to read this. Can I read this to you? Can I read it?
Yeah, that's why you're here.
Okay. I thought that's what you were getting at. Yeah. Okay, so The Onion today, in their usual style, has an article titled Military Industrial Complex Recalls Coming Together in Aftermath of 9/11. And I love it because The Onion is often more honest than the mainstream media. And this is a prime example of that. It says, marveling at how the government and defense contractors united in response to tragic events, leaders of the nation's military-industrial complex on Monday recalled coming together in the aftermath of the 9/11 terror attacks. In the wake of the horrific tragedy, we knew we had to join together behind a single purpose, said Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg, recounting the days after the September 11th attacks in which weapons manufacturers and the nation's armed forces fortified an alliance to further the cause of military interventions around the world. We knew there would be difficult times ahead, but we worked side by side to advocate for an aggressive wartime doctrine and massively increased defense spending. It's a small consolation, but an unprecedented tragedy brought the military-industrial complex closer together and inevitably made us stronger than ever before. At press time, Muilenburg told reporters that the nation's military-industrial complex was rallying once again to create new defense contracts around a possible U.S. military response to North Korea's nuclear program.
Oh, that's
perfect,
so sweet.
Right? Isn't it? Just they summed it up perfectly, I think.
But I think, you know, James, I think you could have played the part of Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg better, you know.
Well, I think we should point out to our listeners that that The Onion is a satire news site. However, sometimes it seems as if they aren't satire. It seems as if the satire is so good that it's almost true. Like, well, the quote may be made up. The rest of it's kind of what happened, isn't it?
Yeah, this one seems... I was like, I am smiling at the truth of it, but the whole thing is, you know, pretty horrific. You know, it's like reality. This seems... I don't know. What can I say? It's very close to reality?
Thing is, if you're going to tell someone the truth, you got to do it while we're making them laugh. Otherwise, they'll probably kill you.
So true.
Yeah, depending on who that someone is, right?
Yeah. So that's what's so great about like an article like this, because that's exactly what happened. Is, you know, you had the military industrial complex rally around, make huge, lots of war, lots and lots of war, war. You know, let's go get the guys and go, you know, the neighbor down the street threw a stick at you, so we're going to go and bomb the people four blocks away who had nothing to do with, you know, the kid that threw a stick at you.
But then if you have that neighborhood now as your territory to sell your stuff,
right,
you know,
now you've expanded your territory. You can get the resources from the
so much lunch
away.
Money. Yeah, so much lunch money.
Lots of lunch money. That's exactly what it is. You know, it's like you had a kid bully you in a grade and you went and attacked everybody in that grade. You know, took the lunch money. Now you're the bully.
Do you have a solution for that, Lisa?
For which thing?
the bullying, you know, figured... No, I just made that up. You don't
have to speak for that. I wish that I did. I was just thinking, you know, 2 years ago I wrote an article called Blood Money.
Right.
Yeah, about the military-industrial complex. And, you know, this is one of those things that you bring it up and people think that you're making it up, you know, because it's so horrific. Like James was saying, it's one of those things you sort of have to joke about because otherwise people will get mad and want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all these defense contractors and then, of course, all the lobbyists and politicians that make money off of all this death and destruction.
But for our protection.
Oh, yeah, right? It's for our safety.
Yeah, I mean, gotta give up some of those liberties for some of that security, right?
Right. That's what they want. That's they want you to think.
Don't try this at home.
Seriously. I tried, you know, encasing myself in cement at home, and although the security was incredible, it just did not provide the lifestyle that I was wishing for, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't think that encasing yourself in cement would really turn out to be a good lifestyle for you. Whether at home or done by the state. Either way is going to be a bad time.
But, man, aren't you really safe, though, you know?
No.
Yeah, safety is having your own army that does what you tell it to. Until, of course, they turn on you.
So only
then
the
that's not safe. Oh, yeah, that was my hidden point. Yes. No, but seriously, we did collect many things to cover tonight, and I think we can just stay on this one for the remaining minutes. Yeah,
I mean, we probably could. It's sad
yeah, because it is. Really, that was the onion, but it looks very close to reality. Did that not strike you as really, really close?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it earlier today, I kind of gasped at first. Thought, oh,
right.
You know, I love the onion for that because they're not afraid. They just put it out there and you know, of course it's satire, but there's always truth in it. The whole article obviously is not true, but it's the gist of it is they have, I mean, I hope that their articles make people think, at least. People who read this, their articles, and who aren't really clued in to the truth, I hope they read it and say, wait a minute, is there some truth to this? It sounds like there might be.
Well, yeah, it depends on the article. I mean, if you go look at Smoove B, that's stuff on the onion that's really cool.
Which
is more like, yeah, because it's more things about specific dating seduction tips from this one guy.
Oh my goodness.
A constant recurring article. Yeah. Smoove and then capital B. You know, like for Bravo. So, you know. So that's like saying, you know, like
I don't
I'm going
know
there.
What that is.
Exactly. Thank you, Michael, ghost of
perfect.
Michael, you know. Yeah. It's really good to have him here in spirit, you know, because it seemed like he was trying to explain price gouging to someone who was then trying to explain how he would be met with violence if he showed up on Facebook. Was that real? Did I really read that on Facebook?
It seemed like
you didn't see that.
It
yeah.
seemed like it.
Yeah.
Oh, the person who, right, okay, yeah, the person who said those things to him, that's a real person, and I had to block that person a while ago because they harassed and threatened me.
Whoa, that's real?
That is real. That person is real. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the internet, where everybody is, you know, keyboard warrior and...
Yeah. I'm kind of glad I've got an ocean between me and most people like that. You know?
I'm coming to live with you.
Well, it's a big island.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When this final law issues, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all.
So many.
Is that
fiends.
A real cat? That sounded like a real cat.
Yeah, there was a real coughing cat back here.
Someone's meow is on point.
So perfect.
Perfect
timing.
So I see what you did there.
Yeah. So someone actually threatened you and Michael, and they're still allowed to be out there on Facebook?
Yeah, it's funny the things that Facebook will ban and the things that it doesn't.
Because I think we know someone who was banned for like trying to sell Kratom or something, but
yeah,
I'm not
it's
sure.
One of my good friends, and that's where I get my Kratom from. It helps with my migraines, but yeah, this guy is, I guess he's a communist. I mean, that's my impression of him. But we were friends on Facebook for a while, and I thought he was a little odd, but then I don't remember what I posted that kind of triggered him, and it set him off. And, you know, he was calling me I'm this horrible monster, I'm a capitalist, and I've never identified myself that way. So I couldn't even defend myself. He didn't want to hear it. He already had it in his mind what I am. And
you're not a monster capitalist?
You're not supposed to tell people. That's my, you know, it's, I mean, it's out now. Oh, well, everybody knows.
Oh, well.
Horrible, horrible human being that I am.
I'm writing it down. Lisa is a monster capitalist.
Spread the word. Yeah, so he completely just lost it on me and was threatening me, and he wouldn't stop, and I finally just was, why am I engaging this person? I blocked. It's a little crazy.
I haven't had to use block. Did you have to block this guy, James?
No, I haven't had to block him. My block list is pretty much, unless you're trying to sell me Ray-Ban sunglasses every day, you're probably not going to get blocked. Like that's like the only thing I'll block you for.
I
cannot
wonder.
Stand sunglass salesmen. Like, if you're trying to sell me sunglasses, just get out of here. I buy my sunglasses where I want, when I want, and it's usually the dollar store.
I'm already designing your birthday card, and you open it up, and it's like, yeah, there's some sunglasses.
Speaking of that.
Happy birthday. Would you like to buy some Ray-Bans?
Speaking of that, have you guys noticed that if you post anything about movies, there are these trolls that, like, somebody said they're Malaysian, but I don't really know. They'll pop up and start posting links to, like, watch movies here for free, like the spam. I have this Facebook friend. It's so funny. He likes to talk about movies. Every time he makes a post, he'll say, now, here, those Malaysians better not show up. And sure enough, they do. And they start posting all these links, like, watch movies here with a link. And he just lets them post. And it's so funny. It cracks me up every time. And, He'll get these arguments with them, and they don't respond. You know, it's like he's arguing with himself. But it's so much funnier than the Ray-Ban or, like, the glasses ads. It's so funny.
What do they post? What do Malaysians post in this one little instance?
watch your free movies here. Every time he posts something about a movie, they pop up out of nowhere. And so people have been joking with him, like, man, you have to stop adopting these people. Like, what's up with your friends list? You should make things private. But I want him to keep doing it because it's so entertaining for me. Every time he posts something, I'm there.
I want to hire these people as my own team of virtual assistants, you know, where I get them to post for me.
You it's like, can yes, hire.
We'll post whatever you want. But it's not a Malaysian accent.
You could hire them. You really could hire a team of people to post things. I don't know how much it would be, but it can't be that much.
No, it's not. I am connected to people who do that kind of thing. They hire and they have people around the world working for them. They make the rate and it's all agreed upon. It is capitalist. Not monster capitalist like Lisa, but it's capitalist. You know.
I'm that horrible, dirty, monstrous capitalist.
Yeah, if you mean private ownership of means of production, definitely. You know, these people privately own some type of telecommunications devices, and you can connect to them over there in Asia and such and have them like bombard you with offers how to view movie.
But wait, you said the workers own the means of production that are actually doing the work?
Oh my God.
Bum, bum,
I did
bum.
Say that. What do I do?
Quick. Quick. We need to go to a commercial break real quick.
I've been found out.
Uh-oh.
I don't even know.
It's a prolonged moment, James. Really stretch it out that 20 seconds, yep. I'm telling you. You've been listening to the Freedom Beat. You've been listening to Monster Capitalist.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Meow. Dog right here.
Uh-oh. The cat was believable, the dog not really. Sorry.
Thank you.
You need more of a ruff, ruff, that kind of bark.
Well, that's like a little, like, yappy dog.
I know, like a little chihuahua.
Oh, those poor yappy dogs.
I know. I could probably do a scarier one, but I'll spare you. Speaking of dogs, wasn't there a story about hot dogs that you wanted to talk about, Daryl?
Ooh, nice segue. Yeah, there was that incident in UCLA, and that's one of those weird events. UC Berkeley police confronted this street vendor who was just selling hot dogs to football fans. He didn't have a permit. So it's understandable, according to this article, that they gave him a ticket. What doesn't make sense is this cop, who's Officer Sean Aranas, who's flipping through the man's wallet and taking every dollar he has on him. But he couldn't take his Bitcoin. So Officer Aranas said... This is law and order in action. That's one of the quotes you can see on the video. How can Aranas get away with this? Civil forfeiture laws give cops the legal authority to rob unlucky people like Juan, who just wanted to work hard and make a living. This legalized thuggery has pretty much always existed in America, and I would say going back in time to the ancient Romans and such and before. But... the difference is now you're able to film these injustices on the spot. Also, there is a GoFundMe for Juan, and that's out there. So yeah, that was just one of these sad things that was shown to me today. And there's no GoFundMe for Officer Aranas, though, as far as I can tell. Because, you know, this could get nasty for him. You know, he might have some therapy over this. for people who probably might be reaching out to call him names like and such.
The guy looks so sad in the pictures, the victim.
Oh, he's so sad.
He's getting robbed. And it's like, there's nothing you can do about that when that happens. I mean, yeah, it's such a racket.
Well, that's what they do is the cops will bully you, beat you up, steal your money, and tell you it's all for your own good.
Really sad. Yeah. And, it's people were willingly buying food from him. It wasn't... Yeah, I don't know. I just get me started on this.
This is not the redemption part. That's for sure.
No, not.
That's the thing. You know, this guy is just out. He's out there trying to make a living. Owns his own means of production. and here comes this cop. Trying to shut him down. He's trying to, work for himself, do something for himself. He's got his cart, and trying to feed people. I mean, people got to eat. And, this cop goes after him, for what? Because he didn't have a permit to sell hot dogs? Come on.
Don't you know permits miraculously, like, they're magical and they make everything safe and okay? Like, so, it's kind of like a driver's license. Without one or without a car registration, your car is just going to, it's going to lose control and just crash into things, right?
Without a permit,
it's going to poison everybody, right? But having the permit, it automatically makes everything just safe and legit and good. That was sarcasm, in case anybody can't tell.
I blame it on capitalism. Personally, how would this have ever happened in a communist world? Comrade James, Comrade Lisa, how would this not occur in the commune?
No one ever gets sick as long as there's a permit involved, ever. No restaurants, none of those places ever have, food poisoning outbreaks. There's no E. coli or salmonella or anything like that. The permits just magically make it so those things don't happen. Right? So this, you know.
That's how permits work. It's my understanding that's how permits and licensing work. Is, you know, if I don't pay my license fee to drive my car, I'm pretty sure that I'll completely forget how to drive.
You're going to end up on the sidewalk and run down a bunch of children and old people.
That's how it works. That's how it works.
Like all those kids who sell lemonade without permits, they are just going to give everybody dysentery and all sorts of horrible diseases. To have a permit.
You know, this guy, he probably saved up for a long time, working his butt off to be able to afford to buy this cart. And then he buys the cart, and he's out there. Now he owns the means of production. He's out there making money for himself. And here comes this cop along to hassle him and shut him down and rob him blind. You know, take everything in his wallet. And, it's just crazy. This poor guy is so sad right now. And, it looks like from this, I'm not sure if they did or... But it's from the GoFundMe. It looks like the cops have been doing this a lot in the area. And there's a lot of... So in the GoFundMe, they're saying, in addition to paying for this guy's cart and or this guy's legal fees and all that, there any additional funds that are raised for it will go to other vendors who've had the similar situation to help their legal fees, and it looks like that some of them have even had their carts stolen by the police. So it looks like this GoFundMe would be taking the means of production. Yeah, that's the government sees the means of production.
Do you think these cops ever, any of them ever feel bad and stop and think, you know what, I hate this part of my job, but I have to do it because it's my job? Or do you think they just don't think about it at all? Or
maybe they get power trips.
I can't wrap my head around it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that happens, but I wonder if any of them ever think, gosh, you know what I did say.
I think this is what, all criminals, whether they have, the protection of law or they don't have the protection of law, we all grow up as children and we understand right and wrong to some degree, unless it's, of course, brutalized out of you.
Unless it's the police.
Unless, of course, it's brutalized out of you. Quantico. Yeah. Unless you happen to go through some type of training, Tavistock. If you go through some type of programming, Club of Rome thing, then maybe you can, not consider other people's suffering because you might consider this whole thing like a win-lose scenario. You might be like thinking game theory or zero-sum game type of thing. There are a lot of people out there, I think, that are like that. And they think, I'm going to take this guy's money because I can. I've got the gun. I've got the law. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it even though they're taking video of me doing it. Yeah. And I don't exactly know what Sean is thinking when he's taking that money out of that dude's wallet, who looks pretty pathetic. That's kind of like, flash backwards, to when Sean was just taking the lunch money out of some little boy.
Flash
backward to when his dad was hitting him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Flash back to like all kinds of, who knows? I don't know what the trajectory. I do know that if Juan just suddenly held up, please give me Bitcoin, and showed like his like literally like 30-digit code, or QR kind of thing, bet you he'd be like raking it in right now. Because that's like some serious sympathy he got.
Yeah.
A lot of pro Juan people out there, I would say. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I'd say justice for Juan is important here.
I agree.
One for all.
And I'm a big fan of the street meat carts. Hot dog vendors are great.
Yeah, and you can look that website up. As far as hot dog vendors goes.
I'd love to see them out, and it's really terrible the amount of this kind of stuff happens all over the country, to where, hot dog vendors are shut down, to where people can't make a living cooking food, just selling it to people right there. You have someone who wants some food, you got someone who owns a way to make the food. They can't come to a mutually beneficial trade because the state wants to come into the play and say, hey, no, you can't do that because you have to pay us money. You have to pay for all this, this permit and all this kind of stuff. And it varies area to area, you know. And that's the thing with a lot of, you know, the hot dog carts is you're going to be mobile. You're not going to be in one area all the time. You know, so you're going to have to keep up with all kinds of permits. You know, that's the whole point of being, you know, in the mobile food business is you can go anywhere and sell your food, right? But the permit thing limits that and makes it so you can't actually go where the food, where the demand for the food is, when the demand for the food is, because you need to have a permit for that specific area. And watch that the demand is right across the border from an area where you have your permit or whatever. And now you can't sell these people food that are hungry. And they're like, hey, guys, we just want some food. You know?
But I know.
Here comes the big bad policeman.
I know. It's
and that's the way it is. Over here, people like just pull off their truck over on the side of the road and just put up a sign, you know, for various foods that you guys have never heard of, but they have over here, you know. I'm talking Lau Lau and pastels. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
The pastilles. Lau Lau, they're just a bunch of taro leaf wrapped pork and pork fat and like chicken. Sometimes fish, you know, delicious.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah,
where I'm from, it's mainly a lot of people. You'll see a lot of people with the street meat. Well, depending on where you're at, like down in Detroit, you'll have a lot of people like selling really awesome barbecue on the side of the street. It's amazing barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue.
You go to like Ann Arbor, and you'll have like a lot of like gourmet hot dogs. Is what a big thing in like Ann Arbor in Michigan is like. They have some really good gourmet hot dog carts there.
Do you see them?
Is street meat a actual like brand name?
No,
It's great.
It's just a website you don't want to visit.
Start the business. Yeah, I'm not going to Google that. Like
Google that.
We have the restaurant Five Guys here, and you have to be careful when you Google that too, because they have great burgers and fries. But if you're not careful when you Google Five Guys,
you should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Hey, that was me.
Exactly.
Perfect. Oh, that was great. I forgot about that. I love that that's out there.
So don't look that up. Whatever we said not to look up, you now have to rewind
don't
to listen to
it. Do it. Do it.
But actually do it. But, no, actually, but don't
actually,
do that.
Actually don't.
Do it, but don't. Don't not do it. Don't not do that.
Well, don't let us tell you what to do, but just don't do it.
Yeah, we're supposed to be freedom, so it's don't your choice what you go out there and do. You can be upset at the three of us if you want to. Just saying, you know, just support Juan, really.
We advise against it. Google justice for Juan instead.
Yes.
Yeah, justice for Juan.
Great idea. Worms.
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 Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends are back. Over there is James. Lisa.
Yes, I'm here.
You had something from Honolulu to share.
I just saw this. Yes. That, this is, from Honolulu. Okay, here's the headline. Children held hostage during disturbing 9/11 drill by school official threatening to kill them. Middle school children were left traumatized, one with PTSD, after a masked man held them hostage and threatened to kill them all as part of an official school drill. Did you hear about this?
What?
No.
I know.
Nope. This did not make it on my feed.
Imagine that. Yeah, I just came across it during our break. There's a lawsuit.
Did you send the link?
I'll send a link. Yeah. There's a lawsuit. For more than 10 minutes, middle school children were held hostage by a raging lunatic in a mask, swinging a hammer while threatening to kill them all. Naturally, officials claim the drill involving a school official wearing a mask and holding the hammer was done for the safety of the children. So there's a report from Courthouse News. They filed a lawsuit over the incident. It happened on September 7th.
Where was the school?
This was 2 years ago. I'm trying to see where the school was. After the drill first became public in 2015, school officials defended the decision. They said the safety drill provided real-life situations where schools could analyze. No kidding. Kaimuki Middle School, where?
In Honolulu,
says.
Downtown Honolulu. Ooh.
The kids were traumatized by this. Can't sleep. Kids were crying. Imagine that.
Yeah, before I send my little one to Quantico to endure, you know, like secret agent training and like all the type of like, you know, where they literally have to get tortured, you know, to see how that's going to do for them, you know. Before I send a little one to that school, I don't know. I would just choose not to send my little one to that kind of school. How about you, James? If you had a little one, when you have a little one coming up soon,
you know, would I have a little one? They're definitely not going to go to any school that's doing weird 9/11 drills with masked men and masks rushing in the classroom, swinging hammers at the students.
Yeah, but how do you know?
How will you build the character? That's paddling. You know, that's a masked terrorist scaring.
No, really. How are you going to know? Are you going to go to the school in advance when you're, you know, checking things out and say, I mean, I have a child who's going to be in kindergarten next year, and I just want to know. Do you guys do these terrorist drills where you have hammers and you come in and terrify the children?
Then they'll be like, No, we don't have anything like that. And then come to find out that instead of it's a hammer, now it's like a nail gun.
Yeah, right? Oh, or like a chainsaw? Oh, no,
we don't know. Like, this is crazy.
Machetes?
That they would think that something like this would even be even remotely appropriate.
Like, I think, you know, guns and, like, blood squibs. So, like, you know, you have some, like, fire or something, and all of a sudden, gory blood explosions.
Yeah, give the teachers all squibs and squibs or whatever you call it.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
This massman busts in.
I gotta Google that, because I don't know what that means.
Yeah, and just, like, we're aiming for really calm students who could just sit right there. You see, like, Sally is still taking notes, and her face is splashed with the squib blood.
Otherwise they get marked down.
These are our future agents, you know.
You know, I think we might have just gave the school an idea. I think we messed up.
I am so glad my kids are done with school. My son had homeschooled for the last few years, and now he's starting college a year early, and got him out of there. He was just bored. Nothing was wrong with the school he went to, really. I mean, other than being a public school, but it's one of the better public school districts in the U.S. But
the Freedom Fiends is the best school district.
It is. Just saying. It's a teaching hospice too. It's everything. You can learn anything and everything here.
The best school district is dropping out.
Yeah. Indeed. Self-teaching.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We'll be back shortly.
Freedom Fiends.
Officer. Justice for one.
One for all.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcast from the Libertarian Re-Education Center in low orbit Iowa, Canada. High atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite in Loop Fair 2017 in the office of Tory Region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This will last reused by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, did you
Freedom Fiends.
Oh yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back. What were we talking about? Our old buddy Rudy Giuliani during the break.
Yes, our good old friend Rudy Giuliani.
He's friend of the show. Not really.
Friend of the show.
This is just a joke, seriously. Just a joke.
Well, how do we really know? Wait a second. Is that a little presumptuous to presume that we can speak for Rudy?
We can't speak for Rudy.
I can't even speak for the Rudy that was on Fat Albert long ago. You know,
I don't even remember a character named Rudy on that show.
It's good for you. You can do better than that. And Fat Albert just shows my age to you, James. So sorry about that.
Well... okay, I remember that show. I'm probably the oldest person in the room right now.
Wait a second. I'm 1972.
Oh. I'm the oldest person in the room. I am.
Oh, no.
1970. Okay.
Whoa, cool. You made it.
I know. I made it.
It's over now.
It is.
You may as well.
It's been over for a long time, okay? It's just all so, uphill from here.
Anyway,
yeah.
Rudy Giuliani is not a friend of the show, apparently.
You never know. He could be listening right now.
Rudy Giuliani may or may not be. Schrodinger's Rudy Giuliani.
There we go.
I love that.
Friend of the show.
Could be.
That's a good show title. Schrodinger's friend of the show. might not be a friend of the show.
That is a good show title. I like it.
So what's going on with Rudy Giuliani here?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, The Onion satire again. I feel like I have to clarify this. The Onion has a piece about him. Of course, now again, satire. He didn't really say this. Maybe he would say this. I don't know. But I don't think he really said this. But the article reads: Every recounting, including more devastation than the last, sources reported Monday that former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani has added more planes and towers with each subsequent retelling of the events of 9/11. When the 90th plane hit Tower 477, I knew I was dealing with something this country had never seen before, said Giuliani, growing teary-eyed as he described surveying the charred ruins of Ground Zero sites that extended the entire length of Manhattan. At that time, we didn't know what we were up against, only that every single skyscraper in New York, including several in Brooklyn and Queens, had been destroyed, and that it would be my job to lead the city under unimaginable circumstances. I like to think there's a reason everybody calls me America's mayor to this very day. Giuliani went on to say that he'd also heard something about an attack on the Pentagon, but he remained hazy on those details.
Yeah, that's
for
just
entertainment
so sweet.
Purposes only.
Because it makes him seem so, you know, elderly, and that just is touching, isn't it? Yeah.
It or is like it's like the stories that people tell when they get older, you know, like I had to walk 6 miles to school in the snow without shoes. They keep embellishing and adding
and worse. An extra mile.
Like
less,
I had no feet.
Clothing.
Yeah, I didn't have any feet.
I didn't even have a jacket. And all we had to play with was a hoop and a stick.
I had to walk on glass.
I had to push my hot dog cart all across campus, and then this guy took my money.
Aw, no,
poor
Juan.
Too soon. Justice for Juan.
Justice for Juan. Hashtag.
One for all. All for one.
Excuse my ignorance, please, but is there a something like a GoFundMe?
There's a GoFundMe.
I know, but is there something like it with cryptocurrency instead of USD?
It's very simple. You just put your wallet there. Then it's an unfreezable.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that easy. But okay. if you really had like easy. A centralized service, then that would be vulnerable.
See? I see.
The irony of the technology is such that, yeah, GoFundMe is freezable. As are all bank accounts and things like that, freezable. But a cryptocurrency, Bitcoin account, or Litecoin, or Dashcoin, or any of those types of things, if you just put the wallet out there, that's pretty much the way.
Just show people your QR code, and you'd have a cryptocurrency GoFundMe.
I see.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. But GoFundMe is directly into U.S. dollars, and it does, of course, allow one to, you know, take that directly without having to convert it at local Bitcoins in LA or whatever, you know.
I was just thinking a little bit of both would be nice.
Oh, it would be so good. Someone set up a wallet for one. That sounds wonderful, you know.
Wallet for one.
Wallet for one. Yeah. I like it.
In fact, I think I'll do that, except I'm going to keep it all. But, you know,
don't do that.
You are a dirty monster capitalist, Daryl.
I am a monster. I am seizing the means of production right now. I'm seizing that means. The MOP. I got it.
You just stole my title from me. I'm no longer the monster capitalist.
No, you still are, according to that guy who threatened you.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
I forgot about that guy until I saw that Michael's post and... It's like,
did he take the post
down? I know
that
dude. Oh, and you guys were talking about blocking earlier. You don't block anybody. I've got like 400 people blocked.
No, I have like just Ray-Ban sunglass blocked.
I'm not kidding when I say nearly 400 people.
No, I have very few on my block list. It takes a lot for... Well, it even takes a lot for me to unfriend somebody too. Like, I'll be friends with people that are absolutely terrible. I have very terrible people on my friends list.
Are you speaking of like Voldemort, like the person? Well,
yeah,
who's not
Voldemort
named on the show?
Level people on my. I had he who shall not be named on my friends list until he blocked me. See, that's what I like to do is get people to block me.
Yeah, that happened to me yesterday, and this is to me it's very funny. So here's what happened. So I like science fiction, okay? Because I'm already not nerdy enough. I have to make myself look even worse right here on the radio. But so this person posted a screenshot of somebody else's post and she thought she was outing this person because he shared a photo of Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. You know, the great Lord. So they the picture of Cthulhu and the
Cthulhu
caption
2020, why vote for the lesser evil?
Well, no, this one actually said it was instead of saying Cthulhu on it, it said, look at these wild tornadoes I spotted during Irma. But it's actually like this, you know, you'd have to see the picture to really understand. But it was Cthulhu, and he kind of did look like, if you weren't really looking closely, it could be these weird-looking tornadoes with all these different, like, funnels. So I laughed really hard when I saw it earlier in the day on somebody else's wall and thought it was funny. So this girl took a screenshot. She said, I don't usually do this, but I have to out this person because a lot of people on my friends list are friends with him, and he's spreading this fake news around, and it's a lie, and this is not actually a photo of a real tornado. And I commented, and I said, No, that's satire. It's meant to be funny. That's Cthulhu. And so I posted a link to like what, you know, like Lovecraft and like what Cthulhu is. And she's like, no, it's fake news. And he's been spreading it around like it's true. He didn't say it was a joke. And I said, well, anybody like looking at the picture should know it's a joke because obviously it's not a tornado. It's obviously like this big, you know, creature, like science fiction creature. You can tell. And so I'm just trying to be rational with her. And she got really mad and like, you know, kind of yelled at me. And then next thing I know, I'm blocked. And I'm like, over that? That's all it takes? Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me recently, actually. There's this white nationalist on Facebook. I'm not going to give him any names. He runs a very terrible pretend liberty group and page on Facebook. And I called him, told him that he needs to go back to Stormfront and told him he's a Nazi. And he blocked me and then reported the post. And I actually ended up getting a 30-day Facebook ban for calling someone a Nazi on Facebook.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, shame.
I didn't even know that was against the terms of service.
Proudly.
I didn't even know that was against the terms of service, but apparently calling someone a Nazi is against the terms of service on Facebook.
I think they make it up as they go along.
I think it depends on how many people report it, and he probably had like his whole army of people report the post.
Yeah, if it's a page I'm thinking of that I won't name, but if it's one of the two that I have in mind, then probably that is what happened because they all kind of like jump in and band together and defend each other. It's kind of fascinating to watch.
Is this the author of A Spontaneous Border? You know the.
No. His buddy.
The buddy. Of the author of A Spontaneous Border.
The guy who...
The hope for an actual, like, spontaneous border around everyone.
No, if it gives you any clarity, it's the guy who wrote an article for the gentleman you're thinking of's website, and the gentleman you're thinking of had to cut out some of the white supremacist talk in it to publish it.
Mm.
It's that guy.
I know who you mean. See, those are people that I won't name and I don't talk about because I kind of take this approach. So I was a teacher for a long time when I was younger, and one of the things we did with you know less desirable behavior is ignore it as long as no one's getting hurt, physically hurt. Just ignore it and hopefully, you know, kind of goes away. Because for a lot of people, you know, toddlers and adults, apparently, supposed adults included, any attention is good.
White supremacists are basically like toddlers, right?
Right, they are. So any attention is good. They love it.
Don't make them feel left out.
About them.
That's abusive.
They love it. Right, exactly. They love being talked about. They don't care if everybody dislikes them. They're still getting attention. You know, might be some kind of narcissism. I don't know what it is. I have theories, but I just don't talk about them at all. I don't interact with them. I don't bother with them because, you know, I got
to. Please donate to all the white supremacists that you need to help them out. They're feeling bad right now.
Do not donate to any of them. Fake news.
Fake news. Dude, you need the little, the thing with me saying, do not do what I just said to do. Yeah.
Do not do that.
What is that called?
The pocket alibi?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy liberty lives around the world, and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
Freedom Fiends. So we just figured out everything in the break about how to be consistent, who the consistent people are, who the inconsistent and hypocritical people are. We don't have to name them, but we figured it all out.
We're not biased.
We got the whole world figured out.
That's what we do in the break, and then we just sort of forget it all as we come back on the air.
It's secret information.
It is. It's proprietary, but
it is.
I can tell you that no swears were used, for sure.
Are you sure?
I was listening.
Yeah.
I didn't even get up.
I have to tell you that, okay, I work from home and I work alone. I'm alone most of the time. And I did not really realize that I talk to myself a lot, and a lot of those words are curse words when I'm working. Because I work in the alternative media realm, so I read news all day long. And so a lot of it, you know, is a lot of troubling information, a lot of the inconsistency that we were talking about and the hypocrisy. And I have to read comments on websites and on social media. And so I'm frustrated, you know, like 70% of my day. And I didn't realize that when I talked to myself out loud and that I curse a lot until I had a visitor here for a few days. Who was here while I was working, and I had to kind of like catch myself, like, oh, I look like I look insane right now because someone is here. And yeah, so I'm getting to a point here, believe it or not, and that is I'm kind of impressed with myself that I don't slip out any, you know, bad words on the radio.
I'm impressed with your very clean vocabulary over there.
Because you have no idea. It's like a band of sailors over here during the day.
I can visualize the sailors in your head.
I make words up too. You would be
whoa.
I know.
Blank blanker.
I know. Oh, it's I get creative. I'll send you an email.
Okay. But James, do you talk to yourself when you're alone? Or wait, you're not alone. You have a dog.
I have a dog. I never talk to myself. I'm always talking to my dog, and I never drink alone either.
All right.
Are you saying you give your dog alcohol? Is that what you're saying? Is Jeremy listening right now? I don't think that's okay. I don't know.
If you have a dog with you, you're not drinking alone.
I don't have pets.
Now, I don't have like legitimate pets. You don't have pets. No, I'm not allowed to have them in this place that I'm renting, but I have random creatures that pop up once in a while that maybe could qualify as pets.
I remember living in a place that couldn't have pets. It's horrible.
It's awful. It is awful.
Any person who's like that is, I don't know, you need to just, you know, get them out of your life. Anyone who won't rent to you and have like a cat at least, you know.
I know. When I moved to this area, I could not find a place that allowed pets. None.
Yeah.
I didn't try hard enough.
I know. I was kind of in a hurry because I got a job transfer because I was working for a different company then and I had to find something fast. But sad.
That sounds a monster capitalist, you know.
I know. They are monsters. They're the worst of the worst people.
I actually rented this place.
No, they're nice, really.
The place I'm in now was rented basically due to the pet situation that I have and how the house I'm renting is perfect for having pets.
Because you have a whole house.
It has a fenced-in yard, which is great for my dogs. She can run around and have all kinds of fun, you know, without supervision, really. Well, supervision, but, you know, kind of one eye supervision.
Does she jump the fence?
No, she doesn't jump the fence. She's never jumped the fence. I should knock on wood.
Really...
She's never done anything like that. She stays in the yard.
She knows she can.
She's going to do it now.
Yeah,
Tomorrow you'll be like, she did it.
No, she loves you.
No, she stays. She doesn't try and jump the yard or run away or anything like that. The only thing she does do is she'll she rolls around on her back until her her collar will slip off. She likes doing that.
I had a border collie. He was the best dog ever, but he would jump fences and go into the neighbor's yard. Thankfully, I was very good friends with the neighbor, and they had this little Maltese dog, and so he'd jump over the fence into their yard and chase the Maltese around. And my friends, the neighbors said, "Well, it's okay. Our dog needs to lose weight. You know, he's overweight." This little tiny Maltese was like a pound overweight, which is a lot for a little dog, apparently. But, he's like his personal trainer. I'll run him around the yard.
The whole moral of the story is jump the fence. Get some exercise.
Or you can just do what my dog does, is run up and down the fence with the neighbor dog.
And roll around and knock your collar off. Yeah, like your dog.
Yep.
Yeah. Be free.
Roll around and get that collar off of you, listeners. Get it right off.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Bro.
Welcome back to the Freedom Feed. We were seeing all kinds of coincidences of people who named Rock apparently become candidates.
We just need Chris Rock now.
Yeah, we need another Rock.
Kid Rock, the Rock.
Calling on Chris Rock.
Calling Chris Rock.
Chris Rock,
calling
Chris Rock. Maybe.
Friend of the show. Schrodinger's friend of the show.
Schrodinger's friend of the show. Chris Rock.
Honestly, I'd be excited about that one. That's the only one that I would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. If you were a friend of the show,
Chris Rock, kind of like a tall version of Kevin Hart. Is
He, if he ever hears that, he's going to be very upset.
He's heard it before.
He's not going to be a friend of the show anymore.
He is not a friend of the show anymore. There is no Schrodinger's friend of the show on that.
That was the shortest friend of the show span ever.
Didn't even last
just
a full
crushed
minute.
My dreams. Just crushed my dream.
I'm really sorry, Chris and Kevin. I'm not sure who I'm supposed to be sorry to.
To me, because I was so excited. You just ruined my night.
So excited we had another Schrodinger's friend of the show.
Yeah. This is going great.
Just ruined. Well, other Schrodinger's friend of the show, Kid Rock. He's recently making headlines now for planned protest against his concerts, which have turned into kind of like almost campaign speeches now. Like, he's not running for office, but he is, but he's just thinking about it, and like he's using his concert time to give campaign speeches, but he's just thinking about it. Whatever. He's very confused. Very confused, man. Well, anyway, in the Facebook post for the planned protest, he left this profanity laden thing here. They only quote part of it in the article. It looks like the Facebook thing, that the link that they have, has been removed. But in the, it says, "I'm the bona fide king of Detroit, and it makes me smile down that you haters know that. Your jealousy is merely a reflection of disgust for your own failures and lack of positive ideas for our city. That was so. Kid Rock has declared himself the bona fide king of Detroit.
So
there you go.
First of all, who would want that title? I've been through that city. I'm just saying. And then also, okay, so there's this trend, and I guess it's a social media thing and perhaps a celebrity thing, but this narcissism to me, and it's this, if you don't agree with me and you don't like me, you're a hater and you're jealous. That's, I mean, isn't that how like 12-year-olds act? I don't know. Isn't he, he's like 50, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
What's the point of using a word like narcissist? I mean, I don't even know if any of that is an act or if any of that is just like, because I mean, it does get social media attention. It, God, you can even leverage that to sell products and songs and things, right? Unless you do something naughty with a child, it's all good publicity, you know, because it just funnels towards you, you know?
I guess. I just think a lot of these people, and I it's a problem that I have with social media overall, is that I don't know.
You think that act is genuine, that Kid Rock really meant it, that he's the king of Detroit?
Oh, no, not that part. The rest of it, though, where he's talking about how everybody is,
you
a
haters
hater.
Don't have any vision.
Right. Your jealousy yeah, is you're a reflection of disgust. Da, da, da. Like, I don't. Yeah, I just think that.
Make your own millions of dollars, Lisa. What's your problem?
I'm working on it because I'm the monster capitalist. That's yes, what I do. Realize. I'm trying to build my empire and take over the world.
James, we must seize her means of production.
this is just silly with Kid Rock. He's crazy.
Yeah.
Seems it.
He's well, anybody crazy. Who wants to run for office probably is a little crazy.
Well, you gotta be a little
experience.
Bit crazy for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the goatee. It drives you crazy.
Is that what
if
it is?
If you leave it.
I would not know. I have not tried to grow one, so I don't.
I don't know what your excuse is, but
I, like I said, I'm behind on every trend, and I'm always the last person to try things and to know things. So maybe someday, we'll see.
But in his post, he wrote, "You know, none of this would be going on if I were not thinking of running for office." And he's probably right. There would be no one worried about, you know, protesting his concert if he wasn't thinking about running for office. He's pushed himself out into no longer just being an artist. I think it's kind of confusing to him now that he's tried to enter the, you know, the political arena. And I don't think he really quite understood what he was getting into when he did that, because that opens him up for stuff like this. You know, when he's trying to, you know, run for office, it opens him up for people protesting his concerts now, for people to care about what he has to say and worry about stuff he said in the past and stuff like that, because he's trying to be the senator of Michigan. That's, you know, not, you know, he's not running for dog catcher.
He's running for senator of Michigan?
Well, he is Schrodinger's candidacy. He is, but he isn't.
Okay.
it's Schrodinger's friend of the show, Kid Rock, is Schrodinger's running for office, you know?
He both is and isn't running for Senate at the same time.
I don't know why people think they're not going to be. What I mean, do they? Has there ever been a candidate in the history of the world that has been embraced by all? I don't think so. So I it's naive to me for people like him to think they're not going to get some kind of haters or backlash.
Gandhi?
Well, of course he's
Mother Teresa.
He doesn't think that. He doesn't think that at all. You know, because, you know, he really didn't have really, I mean, there's people that didn't like his music, sure, but he didn't really have haters. You know, there was no one really worrying about how, you know, what's Kid Rock doing? You know, I think, you know, I don't know. Maybe all this run for office stuff is trying to get him his name in the headlines more because everyone forgot about him because, I mean, who knows?
But yeah, I'm going to forget because, I mean, I remember him in the movie Joe Dirt, you know, so as the villain. So, you know.
I didn't ever even remember that.
Oh, but I completely forgot about that.
Thank you for reminding us.
And at the end of the movie, he definitely, Kid Rock plays the villain and loses the car race so that David Spade, who's the hero of the movie playing Joe Dirt, gets the girl.
Yeah, so Christopher Walken says he's going to stab him in the eye with a soldering iron.
Yeah, totally.
You're talking to my guy all wrong. Yeah. Do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron. Yeah.
Can't you tell? You know?
Schrodinger's friend of the show, Christopher Walken.
This has been a gala of name dropping of all the friends of the show. I love this.
We got we're racking them up tonight. We're gonna have to make a list of all these Schrodinger's friend of the shows, which is everybody. Everybody is Schrodinger's friend of the show.
We can list all of the fiends who came on the show. You know.
How about Hemingway's cats? Can they be Schrodinger's cat friends of this show?
I was saving that for redemption.
I know. Okay, yeah. I won't say anything else. We'll wait.
Okay.
We'll save that for later.
Yeah. Okay.
I couldn't help it. I'm looking at this cute cat in front of me. We love cats. Who doesn't love cats? I don't trust people who don't like cats.
I like cats. I like dogs. Birds are weird, I gotta tell you. They never seem quite comfortable.
You know,
they're fine in their setting, but they don't want to really be touched much, you know? They don't look like comfortable with that. They move really fast.
What kind of birds are you? I mean, because I have, I don't know if you
know. Oh, you have birds that are really, really affectionate?
I don't know if you know that I'm the duck whisperer. Did you know that? Like the duck empress, like they call me? Yeah. Yeah, because, how this started was, so I live on the water, and there's ducks and, like, seagulls and all kinds of waterfowl around here. And they're used to people. So they'll just walk up to you in the parking lot, because they get fed a lot, so they're always expecting food. And they get kind of mad if you don't have it. Like, it's like the duck mafia. Like, where's my food, you know? So they come up to you, and they follow you around, and they're not afraid of you. And so I talk to them, and they talk back, and I have a couple of videos of me, you know, talking to ducks. I look really crazy right now, I know, but how...
It does sound very this kind different, of,
this
Lisa.
Whole, yeah, this whole thing kind of started back, because Lou, you know, a fiend.
I know Lou.
Yeah, he was talking about, like, duck hunting or something 2 years ago, I guess it was. And I said, what? You know, I have ducks are my friends. You know, you can't hunt ducks. So it started this whole little thing that we went back and forth on Facebook with. Like, I would post pictures of my ducks because he could not shoot a duck, you know, like they just got away from him. And here I am, and they're walking right up to me and interacting with me. So I would taunt him a little bit. You know, I would post these photos and videos of me, like, here's me with my little duck friends in my neighborhood. And so anyway, birds, I like birds. My son does not like them at all. He doesn't like their feet. He thinks they're weird.
They poop everywhere.
Geese are the worst for that, but I know way too much about birds. Hey, ducks are friends of the show.
Ducks are actual
Schrodinger's
speak
friends
for
of
them.
The show.
Yes, they might actually be real, legitimate friends of at least of one person on the show.
So all ducks, friend of the show.
All ducks. We're going to collectivize. We're collectivizing all of them.
Every single duck is a friend of the show.
Every duck.
Especially Peking duck. Could really go for some of that right now. That'd be pretty awesome.
Mm.
But yeah, we got wild chickens.
Wait, are they friends of the
here.
Show or are they are food of the show?
That's a food of the show, Peking duck tonight.
That's the food of the show. I'm gonna make sure that my duck friends outside don't hear this, right? Because they'll be. They're not happy right
you
now.
You actually
I hear,
like
I hear them
duck,
outside.
Don't you?
I've never eaten duck.
Whoa.
I know.
Man.
I can't.
Well, you know, it's worth it. And I know they have it in a town near you, I'm sure.
Right up the street, I'm sure. Yeah. They do.
So this was the important topic that we had to cover for this segment. Just the food of the show, the animal of the show.
We're both friends of the show and food of the show. That's
friends. Schrodinger's friends of the show.
Depending on if they're food or not.
Yeah, depending.
I know. Once you ask.
Once you become someone's food, Freedom you're no longer Fiends. Their friend.
Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Welcome back to Redemption in the Third Act. This is the Freedom Fiends. We prepare. We say stuff during the break that you can't hear.
If they only knew.
Yeah.
That's when all the magic happens. Oh, yeah. So, we love cats on the Freedom
Always
Fiends.
Always from head to tail.
And so we are very happy to hear that the Hemingway cats that hang out at Hemingway's house in Key West survived Hurricane Irma. So the six-toed cats have 9 lives, apparently. They all 54 six-toed cats and the 10 employees of the home are accounted for and safe, according to the New York Post. Neat, huh?
It's a good cat, sir. 54 cats. That's a lot.
That's a lot of cats.
A lot of cats.
That's craziness. I mean, you know. However, they have 9 employees to take care of 54 cats. Okay, that's understandable.
Yeah. So I've been there. It was like 2005, so it was a while ago. But I was fascinated by this place. The cats are just everywhere. They're in the house. They're outside. All around the property. There's even a little cat graveyard, you know, for the cats who have come and gone. But most of them, or if not all, are supposedly descendants of these six-toed cats that Hemingway had. So this is the ancestors, you know, this lineage of these legendary cats just keeps going on. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's polydactyl cats are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cute. They look like they're wearing mittens. They have these big paws.
Some of them look like they have extra paws, you know. Just, you know, like 2 opposable paws in the end of each leg, you know.
I know, I'm looking at the photos on the Hemingway home website, and this one cat it looks like it's looking me right in the eyes, and it does not look amused at all, like it can hear us. I don't have double paws. It's just
an extra.
Just
extra,
big bones.
Yeah. It's just big bone.
Oh, they're so cute. So do you guys know the history of the cats?
Tell us.
All right. So Hemingway was given a white six-toed cat by a ship's captain. And some of the cats who live in the museum grounds are descendants of that original cat. Oh, okay. Some. I thought that it was all of them. Named Snow White. So it is possible that most of the cats on the island are related. So the polydactyl cats are not a particular breed. The trait can appear in any breed. And the cats vary in shape, sizes, colors, and personality. Kind of cool.
That makes sense.
So it's just some of them. It's kind of like a home for cats now, huh?
Yeah, they've kind of taken over. Yeah.
I'm wondering, where did the money come from to just keep this house with 9 servants and keep it all running and take care of all these cats, you know?
The monster, dirty capitalists. No, I don't know. I don't remember if you have to pay to tour the house, but I'm thinking probably donations.
That's interesting. Everyone just loves Hemingway and from whom the bell tolls, things like that. didn't that guy kind of, I don't know, end his own life or something, Hemingway?
I believe that
sure he did, or at least, the truth is maybe that whole thing was just actually a conspiracy and his cats actually set it up. Because the cats are set now. They are definitely set. They've got everything. They're like, yep, 9 people taking care of us. Stormproof house. Just keep going. You know?
Right? They have it made. And the house is apparently on higher ground than most of the buildings in Key West. I read that earlier today. And get this, you can get married there, like have a wedding there. So I'm wondering, like, are the cats part of that? You have just cats wandering around your wedding party, or
they might have cats. How does that work? Walk down the aisle with you.
That is so cute. On your shoulder.
Clawing at your wedding dress.
Climbing up your back.
You got the lasers on the back of the wedding dress. You know, just look at the cats running after the lasers.
I think it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I'm crazy, so it's all right.
Let's get married at Hemingway House.
Why not?
No, that wasn't a proposal.
Schrodinger's proposal.
So, yeah. Wasn't it? We'll never know.
It's not cheating if you sleep with a ghost.
And that refers to Hemingway, see?
It all comes first, full circle.
This has been the Freedom Fiends. I'm so sad to leave you guys.
I am too. It's a good time.